You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Good grief! Can there be anything good about grief?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Jesus Christ, Master of life and of death, comfort all who mourn with the good news of life in your saving name. Give us comfort in sorrow and strength in time of trouble, with the assurance of your living presence and your always ready help. You understand us, O Christ. Help us to understand and to follow you. Amen. Jesus wept. He wept over the death of a friend. Some people standing nearby said, "Behold how he loved him." Maybe you have wept like that at the death of someone you loved. Or you wonder how you will take the loss of someone near and dear to you who is dying right now. You will weep. That's what you will do. Whether you do it in public or all alone, it doesn't make any difference. You will weep, and that is human and natural. You can fight it and restrain it, but still you will weep, as human beings do, when their lives are all but torn apart. Jesus wept. He was human, all right, as human as we are. That is good news. It is the good news of God. That is what his men kept telling people. That's what the formulators of the Nicene Creed meant when they said, "For us men and for our salvation, he was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man." Jesus wept, not for show. On the other hand, he was not ashamed to let other people see his tears. He felt deeply, and he wept. He knew sorrow, the kind that every human being knows at a time of bereavement. When I was a boy, I quickly got the idea that boys don't cry. Girls can cry, but not boys. If boys don't cry, men certainly cannot possibly cry. It's out of character for a man to cry. Crying on the part of a man is a sign of weakness. I have seen enough men cry in my lifetime to know that it is not always a sign of weakness. Sometimes it is the sign of great masculine strength, of an overwhelming love that bursts at the thought of the loss of the woman who gave herself so unselfishly to him, or breaks forth in manly sobs over the little body of a child that had bounded into his arms and hugged him with squeals of delight only days before. There's nothing so moving as the weeping of a strong man. And I have learned that there's nothing unmanly about it. It could just be the mark of the man that he is strong enough to weep. It was a strong man who said to his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go and wake him up." These were fine men, and they gave his statement the best interpretation they could. If he is asleep, Lord, he will get well. John explains that Jesus meant Lazarus had died. They thought he meant natural sleep. So Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, but for your sake I am glad that I was not with him, so you will believe. Let us go to him. The disciples had been cautioning their master not to go back to the south country because they knew some people there were ready to stone him. Do you plan to go back there? They asked him. Thomas, whom we called the modern man a few weeks ago, now suggested bravely, let's all go along with the teacher that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, he found that Lazarus had been buried 4 days before. Quite a group of the friends of Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, had come out to comfort them over their brother's death. I can appreciate these people, too. I have seen how much companionship means to people at a time of bereavement. I'm talking about the kind of companionship that understands grief and is not frightened away by it. Martha first came out to meet him. Later she went back and got her sister Mary. Mary hurried out to the place where Jesus had been talking with Martha. He had not yet moved into the town. Mary's friends thought she was going out to the grave to weep there. When Mary arrived at the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. Lord, she said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her weeping also. His heart was touched, and he was deeply moved. Where have you buried him? He asked them. Come and see, Lord, they answered. Jesus wept. Some of the Jews said, see how much he loved him. But some of them said, he opened the blind man's eyes, didn't he? Could he not have kept Lazarus from dying? The people who have suffered a deep loss will recognize quickly how human all of this is. I can tell you that feelings of resentment often arise at the time of a death in the family. Sometimes there's outright anger, which is understandable to those who have had a great deal to do with grief. Doctors and pastors know all about this. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Then there are Mary's friends complaining, why didn't he do something? That's grief, and that's altogether human. Jesus wept, and deeply moved, went to the tomb. Tears flowed with the acceptance of the fact that Lazarus had died. I always marvel at the humanity of our Lord, how truly human he was. His men wanted us to know that. I can't explain how the Son of God could be that human, but he was. He was not an actor playing a part. He did not strike an attitude to impress people. He was just himself, and he was that for us all. As John explains later on in this chapter, Jesus was about to die for the Jewish people, and not only for them, but also to bring together into one body all the scattered children of God. Now his friend had died, and Jesus wept. I take comfort and get strength from Jesus Christ and from all of his humanity. He tells me something about myself, and he helps me to understand other people too. It may seem a small thing to some people that Jesus wept, but not to me. It's a very great thing that the Son of God lived our life so completely and entered it so deeply as to weep at the death of a friend. This is the saving love of God at work in the world. This is the wonder of his compassion. This is the revelation of his glory. One of the favorite expressions of a character in the cartoon strip Peanuts is good grief. I don't know how that phrase ever got started, but in the little town of Bethany a long time ago, there was grief, and there was nothing bad about it. It was good, and it can be good today. Human beings don't get over their losses in a day or two. Sometimes it may be expecting too much ever to get over a loss completely. Grief is a struggle, and everybody who has ever sustained a deep loss is going to have it. I have known people who felt guilty over the fact that they were overcome by grief. There's no reason to feel guilty about it. It is real suffering, and people need not feel that there's something wrong with them because they experience grief. If you have known grief or are working your way through it right now, that doesn't mean that your faith isn't what it should be. You don't need to accuse yourself because you feel lonely, restless, and even somewhat afraid. Good grief, my friend. What you are suffering is the loss of someone who meant a lot to you. That's hurt enough, without making yourself hurt even more. Grief is something all of us can expect in life. I don't know two people who are alike and know two situations that are alike. That's why it's good to have someone you know, someone who knows you, to talk to when you're going through a period of grief. If it's someone like him, why, it's great. At funerals, I have noticed that some people don't cry. That never bothers me. It doesn't mean that they don't love the one who has died. Maybe they did their crying before the funeral, and they will probably do some more in days to come. If you find yourself wanting to cry but can't, it could very well be that you are not ready to let go for fear of falling apart. The only way you know how to hold yourself together for a little while longer until you can find strength may be to hang on and to contain those tears. There are all kinds of situations which enable people to accept loss without open grief. A long illness preceding death helps people to become prepared, at least rationally, if not emotionally. They take the initial shock of actual loss. It is different when you receive word at noon that your hearty and healthy husband died in an auto accident on his way to a business meeting. The death of a youngster living at home may be harder to take than the death of his brother who's been away from home for several years. This does not mean that the loss of one means more than the loss of the other. It is just that the other boy's things are still lying around the house, reminding you that only a short while ago he was there with you. Don't measure the quality of your affection by the duration of your grief. You're not being fair to yourself if you blame yourself for not reacting the way you think you should be reacting. Grief is not exactly a rational experience. It involves the deepest emotions that are inside us. It's something you can't really explain. Don't try to explain everything about it to yourself or to anyone else. It can't be done. It is one of those things you have to work through. That's where faith comes in. If there is no hope, grief grows a lot worse. Sometimes it becomes all of life. I have known people who lived on their grief and almost gloried in it. And that's not the answer either. There comes a time in the grief of some people where they get very angry. They are angry with themselves. They are angry with their friends and with their relatives. They're angry with God. It doesn't happen all of the time, but it happens to some of the best people. It happened to Mary and Martha. They were irritated, resentful, angry. It is hard to know just what to do with that anger. Hard to know how to handle it. Good grief, my friend. That's how it works. Jesus understood Mary and Martha. He did not argue with them. He did not upbraid them. He understood them. That gives point to something John said about our Lord. He knew what is in the heart of man. Our Lord did not even tell these girls to hold back their grief. He was moved by their tears. He wept with them. Some people blame themselves when someone in the family has died. I don't think I shall ever forget my father's coming home from a farm in Nebraska after visiting with the parents of another little boy who had drowned in the horse trough that day. The mother of the boy kept asking herself, "What did I do that my boy was punished in this way?" I remember how sorry I felt for that woman, even though I was only a boy at the time. I knew she didn't have any reason for feeling that way, but still, I guess, in my own boyish way, I could understand why she did feel that way. We are human, and we know deep down inside that we are not all right with God. We have a feeling that we deserve His wrath. When we suffer loss, the thought comes naturally, "What did I do to deserve this?" When His disciples asked our Lord a similar question, "What did they do to deserve this?" He answered simply, "Nothing. Some things happen," He said, "so that God may be glorified." Even in our grief, when we are blaming ourselves, it is possible to have such faith in God as to smile through the tears with faith in God and in His grace. It does not remove the grief, but it works to overcome it. It builds upon it and glows through it. That's faith. The full, total impact of the loss you sustain does not really come home to you until sometime after the funeral. During a long illness, even when death is making itself more noticeable every day, you are busy doing, busy coming and going, busy keeping things together. Even at the time of the funeral, people come to see you, and you have so many things to do that you don't have time to think much about it. Afterwards, to your dismay, you realize you have kind of lost interest in living. A big letdown and a kind of depression set in. You don't even feel like eating. This may scare you, because up to this point, you have done so well, as your friends say. You have really held up. That's grief, my friend. You are at loose ends. You don't know what to do with yourself. It takes a while to get used to not visiting the patient at the hospital, or serving a meal, or bringing home some flowers on Friday, or arguing about arranging the furniture. It's going to take a while, and you will not be exactly the same as you were before. But that's where faith works. It works through grief. That makes grief good. Good grief, yes. Faith makes even that good. The faith I'm talking about, of course, is faith in Christ. It's not faith that all is right with the world. All is not right with the world. It isn't faith that there will never be any loss in your life. There will be. It is faith in Christ, who himself died and rose again. He took everything, including the grief of it. And now there is faith. Faith in him to carry you through. Having wept, Jesus Christ went to work. Jesus said, "Take the stone away." Martha cautioned him, "There will be a bad smell, Lord. He has been buried 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed?" And they took the stone away. Jesus looked up and said, "I thank you, Father, that you listen to me. I know that you always listen to me. But I say this because of the people here, so they will believe that you sent me." After he had said this, he called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in grave cloths, with a cloth around his face. "Untie him," Jesus told them, "and let him go." This is God acting. It has got to be God. Nobody else could do that. It is God in this man who said, "I'm glad that I was not with him, so you will believe." It is God in Christ, dying there that day, atoning for the sins of the world. It is God raising him from the dead. And it is God who knows all about grief. He knows all about you. Your grief does not scare God. It might scare you, but it does not scare God. When you are down on yourself, down on the world, and maybe even down on him, God is not down on you. Grieve, my friend, when the time comes to grieve. But don't grieve as those who have no hope. And don't worry about your grief. Hope will come through. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. So we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have died believing in him. Good grief! If that's true, as it most certainly is, let's get on with the business of living. Good grief and all. Amen.